Title: Envelope Follower Automation Concepts Intermediate. All right, let's get into one of the most why didn't I do this sooner tools for drum and bass in Ableton. Envelope followers. The big idea is simple. Instead of you drawing automation curves for hours, you let audio generate automation for you, so your drums can literally drive movement on your bass, your atmos, and your effects. And because it's reacting to the pattern you're actually playing, it stays locked to the groove even when you change fills, add ghost notes, swap breaks, it just follows. By the end of this lesson, you'll have a drum-driven movement system where your kick and snare or break can do three jobs. 1. Push rhythmic filter movement on your bass. 2. Add hitch reactive bite by modulating distortion on those drum accents. 3. Duck your atmos or pads for that clean pumping feel, without a compressor. Quick note before we start. Envelope follower is a max for live device. If you're on live suite, you've got it. If you're on standard, you'll need a max for live pack, or you'll use alternatives like sidechain compression, gates, or classic clip automation. But the concepts still apply either way. Let's build it step by step. First, we're going to create a clean control signal. This is a massive mindset shift. The control track is not music, it's a detector. Think detector versus destination. If the detector is messy, the movement will be messy. Create a new audio track and name it a C drum control. On this track, drop in either a clean two-step kick and snare, or a breakbeat loop. An amen-style break works great for interesting movement. Now make this track control only. You can set the track output to sends only, or just pull the fader all the way down so you don't hear it. The point is, we want its dynamics, not its sound in the mix. Why does this matter? Because envelope followers react to volume changes. If your control source is consistent and focused, the movement you generate will feel intentional and musical, not random. Next, let's create the bass that's going to get moved. Create a MIDI track called Bass. Add wavetable or operator. Keep it classic. Start with a sine or triangle vibe for a rolling foundation, and add a little sub one octave down if you need weight. After the synth, add auto filter, then saturator, then EQ8. Optionally, add utility for mono management, especially on the sub. Set up a bassline sound before any modulation. This is teacher rule number one. Don't modulate a sound that doesn't already sound good static. On auto filter, choose LP24. Put the cutoff somewhere like 200 to 600 Hz as a starting point. Add a bit of resonance, maybe 0.7 up to 1.2. On saturator, start around 2 to 6 dB of drive and turn on soft clip. Then with utility, keep your sub region stable and mono. In drum and bass, a moving sub is usually not your friend. Now we bring in the core trick, drum to bass filter movement. On the bass track, add envelope follower. For clarity, place it before auto filter, even though technically mapping doesn't care about order. This just keeps your workflow readable. In envelope follower, set audio from to your control track, SE drum control. Choose post FX most of the time, because we're going to shape that control signal like a detector. Pre-FX is useful if you specifically want raw transients and you don't want your detector affected by any processing you do later. Now mapping. Hit map on envelope follower, then click auto filter frequency on the bass track, then hit map again to exit. At this point, you'll see the filter cutoff moving, but it probably won't feel right yet. This is where the feel lives: attack, release, gain, smooth, and the mapping range. Attack. Try 5 to 20 milliseconds. Faster attack means sharper, more talky movement. Slower attack means smoother, more rolling. Release. Try 80 to 200 milliseconds. Short release gets chattery and nervous. Longer release feels more like pump and groove. Gain. Turn it up until the movement is clearly happening on your drum hits. Smooth. Try 10 to 30% if you want that rolling DNB stability and you don't want micro jitter from little hits. But here's the part people mess up. Mapping range. Don't just crank gain and hope. Calibrate it like a sidechain. Do a 30-second calibration pass. Loop the busiest one or two bars of drums. Set the target parameter first to a good static value. So set the filter cutoff, where the bass sounds correct even if it wasn't moving. Then raise the follower gain until the movement is obvious. And then, instead of leaving it insane, reduce the mapping range until it's subtle but audible. You're aiming for movement that you feel is groove, not movement that sounds like an LFO demo. A solid starting example: bass cutoff at 250 Hz, and a modulation range that adds maybe 300 up to 1200 Hz depending on aggression. If it's opening into bright territory every hit, you're going too wide. Now, if you're using a break, you might notice a problem. Hats and ghost notes can over-trigger the follower and your bass starts chatting. That's not always bad, but usually in a roller you want the groove driven mainly by kick and snare, not every tiny tick. So we shape the control signal, go back to SE drum control and insert EQ8 if the kick is over triggering with too much sub. High pass around 60 to 90 Hz so the follower reacts more to the punch than the sub. Or, if you're using a break and you want snare crack to drive the movement, use a band pass somewhere around 150 Hz to 2kHz. You're basically choosing what part of the drums the envelope follower hears. Optionally, add a saturator on the control track with 2 to 5 dB drive. This can make the envelope more consistent because it brings up quieter details and rounds peaks. And optionally, add a glue compressor. Ratio 2:1, attack 10 ms, release auto, just 1 to 3 dB of reduction. The point isn't to make it loud, the point is to make it predictable. Remember, you're designing an automation generator. Now let's use envelope follower like sidechain pumping, but without a compressor. Create an audio track called Atmos. Put pans, texture, jungle ambience, whatever. Add a utility on it. Then add an envelope follower on the Atmos track, and set audio from to SE drum control. Map the follower to utility gain. Now we want ducking, so invert the mapping. You can either turn on invert, or flip the mapping range so it goes down instead of up. Starter settings. Attack 0 to 10 ms so it ducks quickly on hits. Release 150 to 350 ms for that classic DNB pump. Set the utility gain range somewhere like minus 2 dB to minus 8 dB depending on how dense the Atmos is. Teacher note. In breakdowns, keep this gentle. In drops, go harder. This is one of the easiest ways to create drop clarity without changing your sound selection. Next, hit reactive bite on the bass. This one's nasty in a good way. On the bass track, we're going to modulate distortion amount. Find saturator drive. You can use the same envelope follower if you want, but I strongly recommend two envelope followers for control, one smooth for filter movement, and one faster for transient bite. That way your bass rolls smoothly, but it punches aggressively. So add a second envelope follower on the bass. Set audio from to SC drum control again. Map it to saturator drive. Set a bass drive, like 3 dB. Then set a small mapping range, so the hits add maybe plus 2 to plus 8 dB depending on how hard you want it. Go easy at first. This can get loud and harsh fast. Then do damage control with EQ8 after the distortion. If it gets harsh, look around 2.5 to 5kHz and tame it. If it gets boxy, dip around 250 to 400hz. The goal is bite, not fizz. Now let's do a classic jungle move. Snare reactive reverb throws. On your snare track or drum group, create a return track called RVB throw. Put reverb on it. Decay around 1.8 to 3.5 seconds. Predelay 15 to 30 ms. And high pass the reverb somewhere around 250. to 500hz so low end stays clean. Now on the return itself, add envelope follower. For the audio from, you can use SE drum control or even better, the snare track directly if you want it super focused. Map the follower either to reverb dry slash wet or to a utility gain on the return. If you map to utility gain, you can choose, invert it for ducking so the reverb tucks under hits, or don't invert it if you want the reverb to push on hits. For extra tightness, add a gate after the reverb on that return. Set it so only the snare-driven reverb gets through, and time the release to the tempo. Around 120 to 250 ms at 174 bpm can feel nice and tight, depending on the vibe. Now let's talk common mistakes, because they'll save you hours. 1. Over-triggering from hats and ghost notes. Fix it by EQing the detector, gating it, or using a kick snare-only control. 2. Mapping range too wide. If your filter swings from super low to super bright, it'll sound like a broken wobble. Keep it musical. 3. Attack and release that don't match tempo. At 174 BPM, a 30 ms release can feel frantic. 150 to 250 ms often grooves better for rolling movement. Quick method. Shorten release until it feels nervous, then back it off until it breathes. If it feels late and floppy, you went too far. 4. Not gain staging the detector. If the control signal is too quiet or too peaky, the follower will feel inconsistent. Light compression or saturation solves that. And 5. Trying to fix arrangement with follower tricks. This is enhancement, not a replacement for good drum programming. Now some pro moves for darker or heavier DNB. First, keep the sub stable. If your follower-driven filter is affecting sub content, you can get low-end level swings that feel like the bass is disappearing and reappearing. Fix it by splitting your bass into sub and mid. Sub stays mono and mostly unmodulated. Mid-bass gets all the movement and aggression. Glue them in a group and to your final gain staging there. Second, tiny follower modulation to resonance, like tiny 0.70 up to 1.05, that can add growl and articulation without turning into EDM wobble territory. Third, map followers to macros for performance and arrangement control. Put your bass chain in an audio effect rack, map filter cutoff and drive to macros, then map envelope follower to the macro. Now you can automate one macro per section to scale the whole behavior without remapping anything. Fourth, dual band detector. This is advanced but super powerful. Make two control tracks from your drums. One called control kick. EQ it to focus on kick body. Another called control snare. Band pass around snare crack and presence. Then use control kick to drive ducking and volume style moves, and control snare to drive tonal moves like filter and resonance. It feels intentional and mix friendly. Let's wrap with a quick 15-minute practice so you actually lock this in. Load a breakbeat loop on SC drum control. Set your project to 174 BPM. Write a simple 2-note rolling bass line. Seriously, only 2 notes, root and fifth, or root and octave. Then add envelope follower on the bass map to auto-filter frequency for movement. Add another envelope follower on an Atmos track map to utility gain for ducking. Then create 2 scenes. Scene A is intro. Longer release, like 250 ms, smaller filter range, gentle, just alive. Scene B is drop, shorter release, like 120 ms, bigger filter range, and add that drive modulation. Record yourself switching scenes into arrangement view. Then listen back and ask, does the bass feel glued to the drums without sounding like obvious LFO wobble? That's the goal. Groove that reacts. Recap to lock it in. Envelope followers convert audio dynamics into automation. The secret is designing the control signal and dialing attack, release, and mapping range musically. Use it for drum-driven filter motion, compressor-less pump, and hit-read active distortion and effects. And for heavier DNB, keep the sub stable, modulate the mids, and automate follower behavior per section. This audio version is shortened for playback.